My two-sided copying was not working. My two-sided copier was not working, so we had to use the old style, one-page copier. The old style would have been there. You know, the quirky. Next to the purple fingers. Okay. So we're continuing a series of sugyas and kashrus, and we spent the last several weeks talking about issues of kashrus that were directly related to a general list of what's called chasnas, that we try to prevent it, if all possible, to prevent intermarriage. So Chazal added a whole series of different isurim in the realm of kashrus that are not treif per se, but are instituted dafka to prevent too much mingling, too much social mingling. We spoke in the last 7 weeks about bishalakom, we spoke a little bit last week about pasakom, and now we move on to another part which is related to this, and those are the isurim that govern wine, non-Jewish wine, what we call either yainesech or stamyenem. We'll see as we go on what the precise nuances of difference between the two is. I figured this is a good week, if any, to talk a little bit about stamyenem. Usually the week before Purim, we give a Purim related share also. This in no way, shape, or form is advocating drinking on Purim. This is just saying that since some people are learning some sugars of Yayin before Purim, so this will be Yaitzei Achiev. We'll talk a little bit in Yoni Purim with this year as well. So the sugi begins with the Mishnah Maseches of Edazara, the first of the Ramakamos, Il Dvarim Shel Avdi Gicham Asurin V'Isurin Isur Hana'ah. The Mishnah lists off a whole series of different foods and beverages that are produced by Goyim, which are prohibited for us to partake of. Not only are they prohibited to eat or to drink, but one is prohibited to derive benefit from as well. So the first one, the list is Hayayim. So the Mishnah lists off another 20 of them, but the one that we're focusing right now is non-Jewish wine. It's considered to be Asur, not only Bishtiya, not only to drink, but it's Asur Manah as well. So the Gemara asks the question in the second of the Mamakomos, Yayim Manola, how do we know that non-Jewish wine is prohibited B'Achilu B'Hanah? So the fact that the Gemara is about to quote Psukim leads us to believe that there's some kind of an Issa D'Araisa taking place here. So comes the Gemara and says, Amar Rav Avu Amakro, it's based on a Pasuk, Asher Chelev Zvachema Yochelu Yishtu Yei Nesicham. There's a Pasuk in Parshas Ha'azinu that compares the Chelev, compares the fats, the offerings here, the context of the Pasuk is referring to an idol. So the fats and the offering that's brought to an idol is compared to the Yishtu Yei Nesicham, to the wine that's being poured to the idol. To the idol, which teaches us, Ma'zevach Asibano, just as a sacrifice that's brought to an idol, brought to a Verizara, is prohibited to derive benefit from, Afyayanami Asibano, so to wine that is poured to an idol is also prohibited to derive benefit from. So some of you may be wondering, who said anything about wine poured to idols? The Mishnah was talking about buying wine from a non-Jew. Who said anything about a Verizara? We have to get there. So, Kopan, the Gemara is trying to show us what is the source of Chumash for the prohibition of drinking the non-Jewish wine. So the Gemara starts off by saying, well, you're not allowed to eat sacrifices, you're not allowed to derive benefit from sacrifices for idols. So too, you're not allowed to derive benefit from wine that was poured for idols. Those two things are compared to one another. So just as the Zevach is Asur, so too the Yayin is Asur. So the Gemara goes one step further. Zevach Gufei Menoah. How do you know that you're not allowed to derive benefit from something that was brought to an idol? We're not advocating worshiping the idol, but it was done already. It means a goy went ahead and brought a sacrifice to an idol. Why can't I eat that food? So the Gemara continues. Zevach Gufei Menoah. Dichsiv Vayitzamdu L'Baal Peor Vayachlu Zivchei Meisim. There is a pasuk that compares the bringing of things to Avodah Zarah, the Vayachlu Zivchei Meisim. It's compared to a mace, compared to a dead body. Just as a mace, one is not permitted to derive benefit from a corpse, one is not permitted to derive benefit from a dead body, which is a whole very, very complicated child in terms of medical schools and doing all kind of work with bodies. The basic kula we assume is that this issa probably doesn't apply to a non-Jewish mace. Again, it becomes a very complicated halachic issue if it's actually a Jewish mace, but again, not for now. So just as a mace one is not permitted to derive benefit from, so too one is not permitted to derive benefit from something that was sacrificed to an idol. So we have, in effect, like a double limud, double hekesh. We're comparing wine to sacrifices and sacrifices to a corpse. The mace gufei menoah. How do you know that you're not allowed to derive benefit from a dead body? We just keep on pushing the question back. So the Gemara says, As yasham sham me'egla rufa. Here we have a tradition that the Torah uses the word sham in the context of a dead body, and he uses the word sham in the context of egla rufa. And egla rufa is that animal that's brought. If you don't know where somebody, you find a dead body, you find someone who's killed, we don't know what city it came from, so you measure to the cities, and the closest city, the Torah says, brings an egla rufa. So the Torah compares an egla rufa to a mace. Ksiv hachav atama sham miriam. The Torah uses the word sham. Ksiv hasam ve'afur sham is egla benachal. Ma'ala halon asam ano, we have a gzir shav. All gzir shavas are going all the way back to Moshe Rabbeinu. So we have a tradition dating back to Moshe Rabbeinu that just as egla rufa is asab hana, af kanami asab hana, so too a dead body is asab hana. And the Gemara is still relentless in its question. For hasam and alon, how do you know that egla rufa is asab hana? Eventually it's got to end. The sukkah's got to end at some point. So amid Rabbi Yana kaparak simab kachim. The Torah uses the word kapara in the context of egla rufa. Kapar liamcha Yisrael liyanda pasha shoftim. The word kapara always has the connotation of a korban. A korban is asmana, that we know. Not allowed to derive benefit from a sacrifice. Belongs to the Beis HaMikdash. So we have a very, very complicated drasha. But A equals B, B equals C, C equals D. There are a few transitive properties along the way. And we finally derive this halacha that a korban is asmana, egla rufa is asmana, a mace is asmana. A sacrifice brought to an idol is asmana, and wine that was poured to an idol is also asmana. So this is the makor for the din, that wine that was gotten from a goy is asr. The question is, we're still missing, there's a missing link here. Who said anything about pouring wine to idols? But at least this serves as the source, for if I know that wine was poured to an idol, then I know for a fact that it's prohibited. Even though the Gemara has a whole series of drushas here to tell me that in fact the sacrifice, and then by comparison, the wine poured to an idol is asr, one of these psukim happens to be a pasuk from Tehillim, not a pasuk even from Chumash. The pasuk Vayitzamdul Ba'apu'avi Yoyochos of Chemesim, which is part of this long, long drasha, happens not to appear in the Chumash itself. It's a pasuk in Kisvei HaKadosh and Tehillim. And whenever you have a pasuk that's been quoted from Nach as a source of a halacha, so that always raises a red flag. How could you learn a din from something which was written after the Torah was actually given? So this is not my kasha. The Gemara asks this kasha in many, many different places. But here, this particular drasha, the Ramban already attacks this issue. And the Ramban in his Perush on the Chumash points out that in reality, there really is a source in the Chumash itself that you're not allowed to eat anything that was brought for Avodah Zarah. The fact that the Gemara is adding on, you're not allowed to derive benefit, maybe that was based on Psukim and Tehillim, but the very essence of the prohibition of deriving, eating at least, things that were brought to Avodah Zarah is a given. It's a Dava Pasha, it's a Pasuk in Chumash, says the Ramban. The Ramban, the third of the Marmakamas, on the Pasuk, V'karolucha v'yachalta mizivcho. The Torah says that you shouldn't get too close to the Goyim because they can invite you to join and to eat their food. So the Ramban says the end of the first line and the third of the Maamar Kaimis, Vani Oimer, Aldas Rabbeinu, Shizu Azhara Be'eichot Tikrevis Avodah Zarah. This is the source for the prohibition of eating anything that was sacrificed to Avodah Zarah. Shehem Amru She'asu Min HaTorah V'lo Matzeinu Bo Elazeh. Says the Ramban, there's no pasuk in Chumash that outright prohibits eating something that was brought as a korban to Avodah Zarah. It must be this is the source. The fact that the Gemara needs other psukim and makiris and tehillim and drushas and glarufas and mason, the whole story of back from the second of the Mamakamas, that was to add the Isser Hanot, to say that not only are you not allowed to eat it, not only are you not allowed to drink it, you're not even allowed to derive benefit from it. But the basic prohibition, the absolute basic prohibition of Achila, is actually a pasuk in Chumash, v'karolucha v'yachalta mizivcha. So at the end of the day, the Isser exists. There's no question whether based on the Ramban's pasuk, based on the Gemara's psukim, the tehillim, whatever the source is, there is no question in the world that one is not permitted to eat or to derive benefit, to drink or derive benefit from anything that was offered for an idol. And this is part of the background as to why wine of a non-Jew is prohibited. So the question becomes, is this the only reason? This is why I can't go to the wine store, the tray for wine store, and buy a bottle of wine, because the wine was poorly of Avodah Zarah. That's the whole story? So the Gemara is quick to point out, and the fourth of the Ramah Kamos, that there's more to it than that. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah, in the Flamed Vavam and Beis, tells us, the Chiyasar of Acha, per Adam, Rabbi Yitzchak, Gazu Apitan, Mishum Shmanam. That Chazal prohibited eating pasachim, what we spoke a little bit about last week. Bread that was baked by a non-Jew is not permitted to be eaten. We spoke about how Bezman Hazeh, we have certain kulas based on the Rishalmi and other sources that we're very lenient about certain shahs of pasachim today. But the basic prohibition of pasachim still exists and it even applies today. Let's say if you have a private person baking you bread, that would be a problem. We're making of Bezman Hazen commercial bread, but we would not be making on a private citizen breaking bread for you. So what is it that Pasachim is also? So the Gemara says they prohibited Pasachim Mishum Shemenachim, because they really didn't want you to have the oil that the Goyim were producing, which eventually maybe we'll talk about what the Gemara says they actually lifted that prohibition. But Chazal didn't want you to have the oil of the Goyim, so therefore they made a Gezerah, don't even eat the bread of the Goyim. So Gemara says, my only the Shem Pas. It's a strange way of formulating a Gezerah. It sounds like the oil is worse, and we're making a Gezerah Pas, lest you come to eat the oil. So what's the difference in the oil and the bread? Either you're concerned with social mingling for both, or you're not concerned with either. What's going on? So Gemara said, no, we misunderstood what was said. El al pitan v'shamnan mishum yeinan. V'al yeinan mishum b'nai seyen. That Chazal said that you're not allowed to eat bread of Goyim, and you're not allowed to eat the oil of Goyim, because we really had it in for the wine of Goyim. That's what we really want to stop you from drinking. And why do we want you to stop drinking the wine of the Goyim? Mishum b'noseyan, because we don't want to have social mingling, we don't want to have intermarriage. That's the real problem. So when all the dust settles, the Gemara says in the fourth of the Ramakamas, the real true reason why you can't just go to a Goy and drink his wine is because Mishum Benosein. It's a Gezer Mishum Chasnos. It's not all that different than Pasach and Bishul Akam, etc. So here we have two totally different approaches in the Gemara. We have within a few blot of each other, we have two radically different reasons for why the non-Jewish wine is off limits. We have one Gemara that's talking about some kind of a fear about pouring it for idols, and we have another Gemara that's talking about afraid of intermarriage. It's not the same thing. Neither of them is a good thing. They're both very serious consequences, but they're radically different from one another. One is we're afraid that any given bottle of wine was poorly of a Rizara. That's what the first sugya seems to be saying, which would include the Yisra of the Krovest, the Psukim, etc. And the other Gemara says, nah, it's all a Gezerah Midrabanan, and it has nothing really to do with Kashrus. It has nothing really to do with the Surim per se. It has to do with the Gezerah, or to the socialization, or to Chasnas, or to Benosein. So which one is it? What is the reason why you can't drink Treifa wine? Why is wine Treifa? Why is you go into a non-Jewish store, you go buy a bottle of wine. Go into a Jewish store, you buy a bottle of quote-unquote non-Jewish wine. What is the problem? Is it an Avodah Zarah problem, or is it an intermarriage problem? So comes Taisus on the fifth of the Mamakamos and basically points out this contradiction and comes up with the following solution. So says Taisus on the fifth of the Mamakamos on Chavtes of Abeis, Yayin Menachon. The Gemara is asking a question, how do you know that wine of Goyim is treif? Tema, Maikapoy Menachon. What kind of question is that? How do you know the wine is treif? Hamasnisin Maribistam Yedam. The Mishnah is not talking about what we call Yayin Nesach. Yayin Nesach means wine that was literally poured for Avodah Zarah. Stam Yena means Stam Yena means regular wine of Goyim that wasn't necessarily poured for Avodah Zarah. The Mishnah is prohibiting Stam Yena. Why is the Gemara quoting Psukim, which have to do with pouring wine for idols? So that's why I was very careful when I named the topic of the Shiur. I called it Yayin Nesach or Stam Yena, because they're really two different things. Yayin Nesach means wine that was poured for Avodah Zarah. Stam Yena means regular plain old wine that was produced by a guy, or we'll see as we go on, touched by a guy. That wine is Asur as well. So Taisa says, what's the reason? So the Gemara in one place says it's Asur Mishum Avodah Zarah, and another place the Gemara says it's Mishum Gezerah, Mishum Chasnas. The Eshloimah says Taisa, the Emma says, the Vad, the Ika Gezerah, the Stam Yena, Mishum Minoseimu. So the real reason why Chazal prohibited drinking non-Jewish wine was to prevent socialization, was a Gezerah Mishum intermarriage. Meal. Lohayu Osun Osobha no Itamze. But just because of the reason of intermarriage, that's enough to prohibit it from drinking it. That's not a reason to prohibit it bahano. Generally speaking, things that were instituted by Chazal to prevent intermarriage were not prohibited to derive benefit from. Let's say, for example, Bishul Acham. A guy cooks you up a steak. So you're not allowed to eat it, but you're allowed to feed it to the dogs. So it's mutter b'hano. So why all of a sudden did Chazal add on this second dimension? They went ahead and they said that not only are you not allowed to drink Stam Yenam, you're not even allowed to derive benefit from it. You're not allowed to sell it to a guy. You're not allowed to give it as a gift. Where did that come from? So that's what the Gemara is saying. That's what the Gemara is saying. Mishum miloy also masmano mitamzeh midhavya a piton v'shamam. Elo avdu rabbanon ki yayin nesach gomor, shenis nasach lefnei avadis kechom ish asim in a Torah, mishum didomi levi al yayin nesach shol hatam min alon. So comes, tells us and says that the real reason why the non-Jewish wine is off limits is the same as Bishul Acham. It's no more severe, literally, than Bishul Acham. But once Chazal already asked it, Mishum b'noseyam, so then he said, you know, let's throw in for good luck, let's make it like Yayin Nesach also. There's always that chance that maybe the guy poured it Levet Azara. It looks like it's a Yayin Levet Azara. It smacks of Yayin Levet Azara. Is it really Yayin Levet Azara? There's no real reason to assume that your average guy poured wine in Avodah Zarah. If I go into a store and I buy a bottle of non-Jewish wine, why should I think in my wildest dreams that a guy may have poured it in Avodah Zarah? There's a chance. Could be. It looks like it's possible. So therefore, once Chazal already asked it, Mishum Chasdos, then they threw in for good luck or for bad luck, the Yisrael knows well. So the answer to our question, Tachlis, the bottom line is, why is non-Jewish wine treif? The correct answer to the question, says Tosfos, is two reasons. The reason, the original reason, the initial reason, the primary reason is Mishum Chasdos, to prevent intermarriage. As a secondary reason, they also added on the dimension, the Chumr dimension, of Ya'in Nesach, wine that was poured over the Zara, and it's that added dimension that creates the secondary Isser of Hanor as well. Is this just theoretical, just a lot of lumdus, you know, to figure out academically why they asked it or not? Is there any real difference of this? So there may be a tremendous difference, because once Tosfos is correct, that there are really two different factors playing out here, it may be possible to split between the two. It means it may be possible that one of the reasons may apply, and the other reason doesn't apply. If that's true, then that may affect the outcome of the halacha. So that's what the Shulchan Aruch and the sixth of the Mamre Komos, the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah, address the following question. The Shulchan Aruch quotes in the beginning of the Hilchos Yayin Nesach and Chav Gimel, Stam Yenem Shlov Gichav Asar Bahano. So it says the Shulchan Aruch that any wine that's bought from a non-Jew, not only can you not eat, cannot drink, you cannot derive benefit, you can't give it as a gift, you can't sell it, you can't do anything with it. Basically, if it ends up in your property, you got to mamash spill, you got to throw it out. It's also b'shti and it's also b'hano. And then the Shulchan Aruch adds on, quoting from the Gemara, "Vudin l'magam b'yayin shalanu." Everything that we've been talking about non-Jewish wine, means either the non-Jew produced the wine, or even if the wine was produced by a Jew, but it was touched by a non-Jew, that's also considered to be the equivalent of Stam Yeinam, and it's also Asa B'shtiyah and Asa B'hano. So Shulchan Aruch is very clear. He just quoted five blot of Maseches Avodah Zarah that say this explicitly, that any time that wine is either produced by a guy, or touched by a guy, handled by a guy, it's off limits. It's off limits B'achila, B'shtiyah, it's Asa B'hano, the works. Comes the Ramah and says, not so simple. Says the Ramah, why is this so terrible? Because we're always having in the back of our mind that fear, maybe the guy poured it for an idol. Ubizman hazeh, says the Ramah, today's world, says the Ramah, I'm looking around Krakow in the 1500s, I don't see Goyim pouring wine in the Avodah Zarah. Now, the Ramah was probably aware of the fact that the Goyim did use wine in some of their services, that's true, but it was more for different reasons. It wasn't actually pouring it necessarily for the shame of Avodah Zarah. It was drinking it, other things, whatever they did with the wine, don't do with the wine, but it wasn't. The Ramah didn't consider that to be mamash menasech le'Avodah Zarah b'zman hazeh. And therefore what? So therefore, says the Rabbah b'zman hazeh, yesh omrim demago v'kicham b'yayin shalanu, eino ose b'hano rak b'shtiyah, v'chein stam yayin shalahem, eino ose l'hanos b'menu. Comes the Rabbah and says that since the reason of Avodah Zarah doesn't seem to apply anymore, the added dimension of an Isra Hana may fall by the wayside today as well. Now the Ramah is quick to say, you can't drink the wine. A Goyish wine you cannot drink. That's obvious because the reason that prohibited drinking was Chasnos. Chasnos, unfortunately, that concern is still alive and well today. So because there's a fear of intermarriage, so the prohibition of drinking the non-Jewish wine is for sure intact. That's no different, not going to be any more lenient than Bishalachim. If you can't eat the food cooked by the Goy, you obviously can't drink the wine that was either made by the Goy or touched by the God. But in terms of the added dimension of an Isser Hana, so the Ramah is willing to negotiate with you. The Ramah is willing to say, well, if the reason for that Isser doesn't apply, so sometimes we apply that principle. Yeah, it's also a tricky principle in Halacha, but sometimes we apply that rule. If the reason doesn't apply, then the din doesn't apply. Sometimes yes, sometimes no. So comes the Ramah and continues. V'lachain, based on this, sometimes this would happen that a Jew would really want to rely on this kula. He would really, really want to derive benefit from a goy's wine. Why in the world would this become relevant? So the Ramah says, very simple case. A goy owes a Jew a lot of money. And the goy reneges on it, doesn't pay back the loan. And the Jew's going after some of the property of the goy. The goy's in the wine business. So the best thing for him to collect from, go collect the wine. So can he do that? So if you hold that stam yein, if you hold the wine of the goyim today as asa b'hano, What's he going to collect the wine? What's he going to do with the wine when he collects it? He's going to collect and throw it to the garbage. What's he going to do with it? He can't sell it to somebody because to selling it would be a violation of benefiting from it. So says the Rabbah, Bizman Hazeh, if the only way for the Jew to get his loan back is to go collect the Goyish wine, he would be permitted to do so. Not that he's going to drink the wine, not that he's going to sell it to a Jew to drink. No, that's off limits even today because of chasnas. But he would be permitted to take the wine as payment from Goy number one, then sell it off to Goy number two and get benefit and get the money. That would be okay. So lachen mutar ligvas chov b'rav kicham stam yehenem v'pnei shukmatzal yadam v'udim b'shar hefsin. He says, whenever there's a tremendous degree of loss or something, that would be okay. Kigoni of kana or machar aval lechatchila asal likinos v'lamachad elistakaboy. But the Rama writes that it's not really proper for a person to go into the wine business. It means the Rama just told me that you're allowed to derive benefit from the nine kosher wine. So great, so I'll open up a store and I'll sell the nine kosher, not the Jews. I'll open up a store in the middle of Wyoming and I'll sell wine to goyim. I'll sell goyisha wine to goyim. What could be wrong with that? So the Rama says it's not right. I'm not convinced, says the Rama, that it's mutar b'nov b'zman as I think it is, and therefore I'm willing to be makel b'shasad chach b'chem hefsed. But stam for a guy to run his business like that wouldn't be right. V'yesh b'kilim gam b'zeh, the Rama writes that there are those who are lenient even on that, who hold that it's mamish mutar. V'tov l'hachmer, the Rama concludes it's better to be machmer. So this shayla happens all the time. Most of us are not running non-kosher wine businesses, but many of us do end up with bottles of non-kosher wine in our property every once in a while. Very often people get it at their work, they get it as gifts from co-workers, and the shayla is, what do you do with it? So I get the shayla all the time, usually around the end of December is when the shayla comes up. Somebody comes to me and says, Rabbi, I just got a bottle, a very expensive bottle of wine, it's a tray for wine, what do I do with it? So obviously you can't drink it. The question he wants to know, can I give it off to another coworker? Can I give it to the cleaning lady? Can I give it to the mailman? Can I give it away to somebody? So giving something that's also banor constitutes being nene. That's considered to be benefiting. When I give a gift to somebody, I'm going to get something, sometimes tangible, sometimes intangible, but I'm expecting something in return. So that's considered to be nene. So if you hold that stam yedim is also banor b'zman hazeh to shulchan aruch paskins, then I shouldn't do that. I should just throw it into the garbage. But if you hold like the Rama that it's mutter, then it would be okay. But let's not forget the Rama himself was hemming and hawing. The Rama first said maybe it's only mutter, so b'shasar chak, makom hefsid, and then the Rama said maybe it's not a hefsid. Question is, can you call these kind of situations makom hefsid? It wasn't a hefsid. They gave you a bottle of wine. It's easy come, easy go. They gave you $100 wine, so you throw it into the garbage. So some say you shouldn't be making on this. It's not considered to be a makom hefsid. And according to the second day in the Rama, no. According to the second day in the Rama, yesh b'kilim b'zeh, the mikra din, it's really permissible. So I guess it depends how expensive the bottle is. It depends how much your hefsid a person considers this to be. So yesh mechmir v'yesh mekiyim v'deshalah. But I'll call upon him, the background for the kula's only as true as the facts of the Rama said. Because the Rama said that since Bizman Hazeh, people are no longer menasech yayin levedazara, so the Yisra Noah falls off. So the Yisra Shtiyah is the Bumkam well made, but the Yisra Noah wouldn't apply it. This prohibition of Stam Yenam, not only are we not permitted to use wine, to drink wine that a goy produced, but even if it's Jewish-made wine, if it was subsequently touched by a non-Jew, that's also considered to be the same level. Again, according to the Ikra Din and the Gemara, it's also both Bishtiya Uvano. According to the Rama, Mikra Din is probably just also Bishtiya. There is a famous kula that exists. That's a whole Gemara Maseches Avodah Zarah. That's what's called the kula of Yayin Mavushal. All of a sudden, in the middle of nowhere, the Gemara says in Maseches Avodah Zarah that as long as you cook up the wine beforehand, then you're okay. Then there's nothing to where everything becomes mutter, totally mutter lechatchila. If you have Yayin Mavushal, whoever tells a funny story about Shmuel, the Amora Shmuel and a goy. The goy's name was Avlate. So Shmuel and Avlate were sitting together, and I guess they were at a party or dinner, whatever they were at together, and somebody brought wine, and Avlate was very respectful. He was knowledgeable and he was respectful, and he realized that if he touches the wine, so Shmuel's not going to drink the wine. So Avlate made a point of saying, I'll keep my hands away, I'm not going to touch the wine. So Shmuel said, don't worry about it, you can touch it. It's mevushal anyway, no big deal. It's mutter to touch it. So it's a strange story. The guy was being machmer and Shmuel was being mekel. The guy didn't want to touch the wine, but Shmuel said it's okay. So the bottom line is the Shulchan Aruch, we pask it, the yayin mevushal is perfectly okay. It solves the problem, even lechatchila. So the question is, how in the world does it solve the problem? What exactly does cooking up the wine do to solve the world's problems? So the Rosh in the 7th of the Marmakobos is very bothered with this question. The Rosh in Avodah Zarah Perek Beis, Simin Yud Gimel, tells us, V'adover tamua, he says, it's really a tame, it's really strange. Kaven's the second page. Kaven shegozru al yena mishum benoseyem, He says, if the real reason for not drinking the non-Jewish wine was a gezeirah mishum chasas from intermarriage, v'chi mishum sharsicha lo shaychach gezeirah, because you boiled up the wine a little bit, so you heated up the wine for a second, so now the gezeirah doesn't apply. The wine can taste very, very good. It can be very, very nice, high-quality wine, even if it's mamushal. So comes the rush and says, how is that going to avoid the problem of mishum benoseim? V'im mishum delabar nisachu, and then the rush says, so maybe the reason for the issa was nothing to do with Benoseim. Maybe the real reason was because of that the guy poured it levar azara. So says the Rosh, for lo yain mazug nami levar nisachu. He says there are a lot of wines out there that the goyim are not necessarily pouring levar azara. So even if you want to argue that the goyim are not pouring mevushal wine to their idols, who says that they're pouring diluted wines to their idols either? And the Gemara says that even diluted wines are a problem of stam yedam. So the Rosh says he doesn't understand where the kula comes from. It's a Gemara, it's a Beferish Gemara, there's no shaila that it exists. But the Rosh says conceptually we don't understand why in the world mevushal should solve any problem. So comes the Rosh and says, V'efshar, l'fisha, mevushal eino motzi kol kach. Says the Rosh, maybe the reason why mevushal is mutter is because it's unlikely that someone's going to be mevashal your wine. Why would you mevashal the wine? The wine connoisseurs tell us that being mevashal the wine ruins the quality of the wine a little bit. So why would anybody in their right mind be mevashal wine? It's a milsad lashchicha meshugana. The goyim aren't mevashal wine. It's only we're the meshugana. We're the ones who cook up our wine. We cook up our wine to avoid kashrus problems of goyim touching it. Nobody normal would ever do that. So comes the Rosh and says, it's a milsad lashchicha. A milsad lashchicha lagazda be'rabanan. You have to say that anything that's abnormal, Chacham never made a gezeira on. So that we already have that principle in many areas of halacha. Chazal addressed normal situations. Once you start to do things out of the ordinary, so Chazal lifted their gezeiras. So according to what the Rosh is telling us, is that there is no intrinsic reason why mevushal should be okay. It's not that when it's mevushal, then there's nothing to worry about. There's the same problems. If it's mevushal, there's the same problem of benoseim. And there's the same problem of benoseim. All the problems are the same. It's just by quirk, it happens to be a milsad l'shchicha. So we're not mechuyif to ask something when it's a milsad l'shchicha. It's based on this idea that some wines are excluded from these gezeiros, that the Rambam has a startling statement. The Rosh continues quote, V'ram zal kosov, Shim nis'ar b'yayin ma'at dvash o ma'at tz'or, hove ein rol v'nasach ha'gabi v'zbech, ha'reo ki'yayin mevushol, u'kishaychar u'mut l'shtosim ha'vikichavim. So comes the Rosh, he quotes the name of the Rambam, and says that if you have wine, that's a very good wine, it wasn't mevushol at all, but you did something to it before the guy touches it. You put a little bit of honey into the wine. You put a little bit of other materials into the wine that would disqualify that wine from being brought as a korban if you were bringing it to the base of Mikdash. The din is that you're not allowed to bring kichos or v'chol dvash, l'saktiv men ish l'Hashem. The Torah says in Parshas V'yikra, you're not allowed to bring on the mizbech dvash. Dvash means any fruit derivative. You're not allowed to any sugary thing, any fruity thing, honey thing. You're not permitted to bring as a korban. Or if you have any chametz, put some chametz into the wine, so you wouldn't be able to bring that as a korban to the Rabban Shalom. So the Rambam writes, just as we wouldn't bring it as a korban, the goyim probably wouldn't bring it either to their idols. It's strange. The goyim are looking up in Ara Chumash, they're looking up in Maseches Machim to figure out what they can't bring as a korban. So the Rambam writes that once you put the vash and seor into your wine, nobody would ever be menaschach al gabi hamizbeach anymore, and therefore it's like yayim mevushal, and therefore there's no problem whatsoever. So the Rosh says, what? Ve'en this mochalov. So the Rosh says, we shouldn't rely on this Rambam. The ika gzeim mishum benoseim. He said, as Tosfos said, the real reason for this whole issa was mishum benoseim, mishum chasnas. So the fact that the goyim don't bring it to the idols, what does that have to do with anything? That's not going to address the ika concern. El shechmiru lesser brano kevash and esnasech levelis gichavim. The chen kasvar ambanzo. The afim dim tzalem shlo goz el biyan erel nasech shekol gzeirosa machshash nisechu. Even if you want to argue that the original gezeira was because of pouring it levar azara, man lemalan de inu lemenascha yain amur b'sor dvash. Who told the Rambam that the goyim don't pour this kind of wine levar azara? Maybe the goyim do pour this wine levar azara. Well, who knows? So the bottom line is the Rosh says the whole thing is not true. The Rosh says there are two reasons why the Rambam's kula isn't correct. Number one, it's not correct because we have to be concerned with benoseim, and benoseim is always a problem no matter what's mixed into the wine. And number two, there's the other concern of the chashashim of Adizara, and maybe the goyim tafa are pouring of Adizara. If the Rambam would have been accepted, the Rambam is not accepted in Allah. If this Rambam would have been accepted, this would have been an unbelievable solution for many, many wines. Any wine that has sugar in it would have automatically been okay. Because sugar is mesikas apri. It's considered to be dvash. Dvash in the Chumash doesn't only refer to honey, bees honey, it refers to fruit honey. Any fruit derivative is considered to be a dvash. So sugar comes from fruit and it comes from sugar cane. So that's considered to be a dvash. So that would disqualify the wine for us. And according to the Rambam, whenever that disqualifies wine from being brought as a korban, that automatically permits it in terms of stam yenim. So according to the Rambam, as long as any wine that has any sugar in it, any flavoring, and any fruit flavoring, any fruit derivative, you can buy tray for wine also like that. So Lamaisa said, we don't pass like that. We don't pass like this Rambam. But we do pass that Mavushal is okay. So how do we understand? Why is Mavushal okay? So again, the Rush was troubled with this, and the Rush came up with this idea, well, it's a Misal Dosh Chicham, therefore it's permissible. The question is, at what point...
What's the Rambam's loss of Mutli Shoso in Ha'ovik Ha'ovik?
That means you can even, not only can you drink, you can even eat it together with Goyim. There's certain gezeiros derabanan, even certain kinds of liquid, certain beverages that are maybe kosher, but there are certain limitations drinking them together with goyim, like sheikha, and the whole sugya is about that. That's what the Rambam's probably alluding to. So what exactly is considered to be the equivalent of mevushal b'zman hazeh? In the olden days, yain mevushal had a very specific connotation. You take a wine, and you pour it into a big pot, and you put it onto the fire, and you cook it up for an hour. So the Rush says, the Rush would scream at you, "Mishugan, what are you doing?" So the good news is, because it's so much sugar, because it's so crazy, it's a milsud lo shchicha, lo goz abir abanu. That is not the way yayin mevushal is effective as manazem. Nobody's taking wine and pouring it into pots and cooking it up for an hour. The way yayin mevushal is taking place as manazem is in a split second. It's being ran over some device that's heating up the wine for a very, very, very short amount of time. Dafka, because they don't want to heat it up for too long, because it does take away from the quality of the wine. And the question becomes, does that really qualify as mavushal? Is there any reason to believe that tick-tock, one split second of heating up the wine, is there any reason to believe that that is not considered to be sufficient mavushal? So that was a big machlekes, the Gedolei HaPoskim in today's last generation, between Rav Moshe and Rav Shlomo Zalman. So Rav Moshe was of the opinion that mavushal means mavushal. So we know mavushal. Yeah, heat it up. It reached Yatsa Letizbo, whatever that amount is, it's hot enough that you touch the wine for a split second and put your hand away. That's called mavushal. It doesn't make the slightest difference whether it was cooked for 1 second or it was cooked for 2 hours. Once it was mavushal, the chiyah gavda lo gozru, it's a milsud lo shchicha, chazal never asked it, and either reasons still apply. As the Rush said, the reasons always apply. Even to real mavushal, the reasons apply. But that's the way it is. Once it's called mavushal, it's a lo plung de kula. Once it's mavushal, it's mutter. So according to this view of Rav Moshe, as long as the wine reached whatever temperature is necessary to be called bishul, even for a short amount of time, that would be okay. What is that temperature? So there are different opinions in the poskim, what exactly the precise temperature of Yatsa Letizbo is. So Rav Moshe claimed that l'chumra, we should treat Yatsa Letizbo all the way up to 160 degrees. Even though in reality, it's much, much lower than that. If you would touch something 160 degrees, you would be in big, big trouble. So the numbers are the poskim are much, much closer than to the 115 range, something like that. You would already have to pull your hand away. But Rav Moshe writes that after 160, then we could say with absolute certainty it's for sure Yatsa Letizbo. So according to those who follow Rav Moshe Shitas, so they insisted that all the wine companies have to cook up the wine, even for a split second, past the point of 160 degrees. And at that point, we can declare that the wine is mavushal, and if a guy touches it, we have nothing to be concerned with. That was found in the Rav Moshe. So Rav Shlomo Zalman disagreed fundamentally with this whole approach. Rav Shlomo Zalman was of the opinion that yayin mavushal has to accomplish something. You can't have this, it's a game, it's a easy come, easy go. Mavushal, got to be a degree of real bish, got to be a real cooking that actually detracts from the wine a little bit, actually makes some of the wine evaporate a little bit, makes really, really, quote unquote, ruins the wine a little bit before we can call it mavush. So therefore, according to Rav Shlomo Zalman, probably most of all the wines that we call on the market, they're mavushal, according to Rav Shlomo Zalman, not really mavushal. That they don't really meet the criteria of mavushal. Nobody does mavushal the way Rav Shlomo Zalman had wanted mavushal to be. So yesh v'yesh, there are different opinions about this. In America, pretty much everybody is makel on the shaila. Anyone who ever serves wine at a wedding or a restaurant or has goyim around the house, so we're always relying on this. We always rely on, we look at the bottom, it says mavushal. We assume it's mavushal. According to Rav Shlomo Zalman, it never really met the criteria of mavushal. Now, in Israel, they're a little bit more machmir on this, but in America, in chutzlar, the minhag seems to be outright cool with just about everybody. If I'm not mistaken, I don't think there's any ashkach organization in America that's machmer in the shayla. I think across the board, across party lines, they serve wines at the chasanas that are open, and the goyim are pouring it. The goyim are pouring the wines in our restaurants. The goyim are have access to the bottles of wine in our kitchens that are open. As long as it's mavushal, we assume that is okay. Even though according to some poskim, that wouldn't meet the criteria of mavushal. There's a flip side of the shayla in terms of mavushal. There are some who are machmer not to use yayin mavushal for kiddush. The real chumrah is every Friday night, and there are some even more machmer by the seder. They refuse to use ayin mevushel for the seder, and they refuse to use ayin mevushel for kiddush. So the question is whether our wines are considered to be mevushel for that. So now the shittas are flipped. According to Rav Moshe, so our wines, which are mevushel. So they're mevushel l'kula, but they're mevushel l'chumr also, that it wouldn't be good for Kiddush according to the Mechmirim. If you follow Shlomo Zalman, then the good news is that you can use the wines for Kiddush. The bad news is the wines are probably treif because they're not mevushel. So you choose which you want to follow. Sometimes there's a little bit of a discrepancy between the standards of mevushel between Eretz Yisrael and America. So it happened with us that this goes back already. My oldest son is already... Maybe 16, so this goes back more than 16 years ago, right before his bris, when my wife was expecting with him, so we were in Eretz Yisrael for a little while, and one of my wife's uncles gave us a bottle of wine we should take home, and he said it should be a school, we should use this wine by the bris. We didn't know we were having a boy yet, but he decided, Ruch HaKadosh, we're having a boy, Kachava. He was a Misnava, if you know, Deman Misnava, that we had a boy. So we took the bottle of wine and used it in the bris. I noticed, when we went to open the bottle of wine, I noticed that it was an Israeli bottle. It didn't say Mevushel on it. Okay, the bottle was closed. Doesn't matter. The bottle sealed. It's fine. But I was going to open the bottle. So I figured, okay, we'll open the bottle right by the bris. Everyone's standing on is Jewish, so we'll open the bottle and shut and use the bottle of wine. But then we finished the bris. I figured, I'm going to throw the whole bottle out. I'm going to use the bottle for benching. I'll take it back home, use it for Shabbos. So I figured, all right, we'll keep it, you know, in a safe place. No one's going to touch the bottle of wine. So I looking around, I saw there was some Goyish waiters floating around. So I didn't want to just put the bottle of wine down. One of the Goyim was going to move the bottle. The bottle was open already. It's going to trafe up the whole bottle if it wasn't mevushel. So I gave it to one of my friends to hold on to the bottle. I said, "Do me a favor during the bris. You keep an eye on the bottle that none of the waiters touch the bottle." So he sits down. So go figure out luck that we had invited only one non-Jew to the bris. My daughter's babysitter was invited to the bris. She was a little bit older already, a year or two older. So that babysitter came, and the babysitter didn't know so many people, but she knew my friend because he lived in the same building, so she sat down right next to him. So this is the fiasco. He's sitting there with a bottle of wine, holding onto it for dear life, and the only non-Jew in the whole place is sitting right next to him. Anyway, Mamaisa, Vachshem, the wine wasn't touched. Then I realized afterwards, I found out a short time afterwards, that the particular wine actually was mevushel. The reason why the company didn't write mevushel on it was because it was an Israeli wine that wasn't being sold for export. If it was being sold for export, they would have written mevushel on it, because in America they treat it as mevushel. Since it was an Israeli to be sold internally, because I got it as a gift from someone in Israel, so it was on the Israeli market, they didn't want to write mevushel on it. Their practice was not, it's the same wine. They wouldn't write mevushel in deference to Rav Shlomo Zalman. So the wine that they were exporting, it was the exact same wine. The exported wine was reading mevushel on it, and the one, the internal wine, was not mevushel. So all's well that ends well. The wine was mevushel. It could have been touched by the guy, it was used by the bris and a shalom. So you have to be careful, you have to make sure you figure out whether something's emotional or not.
What's the story as far as non-Shomer
Shabbos? Yes, non-Shomer Shabbos is a tricky story. The Ikra Din, Shulchan Aruch speaks about, if someone has the status of a Mumar, L'chalat Harakula, then they could potentially trade up the wine. You know, in theoretical world of Halacha, someone who's Mechal Shabbos for Hesya has the status of a Mumar as well. The only question is, Bizban Hazeh, that most of the people, 99.99% of the Mechal Shabbos today, are not Mumrim. They just don't know. They're Tiruk Shinishmas. They don't know what they're doing. So it's very hard, the Poskim say, to call such a person a Mumar, to treat him like a Mumar L'chal Tarakula. If a Mika Mika Radin, if somebody would actually touch the wine, it's hard to Asr. We try L'chad Chila, if they're going to be. I always tell everybody, always have a bushel wine around. You never know who's coming, who's not coming, who's Jewish, not Jewish. Sometimes you have people who, they think they're Jewish, they're not really Jewish. If you have anybody around the table who you don't, not 100% certain about, it's always a good idea to have a bushel wine all the time. But push comes to shove, if a non-frum Jew touched the wine, it's hard to say that it's treif.
What is it considered touching the wine?
So if they handle a bottle that's open, that's a potential problem. The locks, yeah, that's what we're working on. We were just talking about the locks before the Shia. So if someone can get me one of the combination locks, we can talk about it next year. Okay, after the show and tell next week. Okay, so next week we're going to show is Purim, so I think we'll be off for next Wednesday night. Hopefully after that we'll continue.
That's
not,
that has no basis in